Hello and welcome to our broadcast. Today we've been looking at the subject of stress. In our last program we talked about why the stress, why is it allowed? And then prior to that we saw the life of Job and Abraham and David and Joseph and Moses. They all had to deal with stress. Today we're going to talk about Elijah. Stay tuned for our program. Elijah lived in an age of apostasy, much like we were living in today. We find a time of apostasy, and we also find the phrase, "and Elijah," 22 times. He's called the Tishbite 6 times. A Tishbite, what is a Tishbite? Well, the word means strange one, and certainly if you're going to stand for the truth in an age of apostasy, you're going to be considered a strange one. Well, the Bible says he was subject unto like passions as we are, and that means then that he was subject unto stress. The story opens up with Elijah coming out of nowhere and appearing before Ahaz, and at that time it hadn't rained for 3 months, and it hadn't rained for 3 months because Elijah had prayed it wouldn't rain. In Deuteronomy 11, God had warned his people that if you rebel against them, it's not going to rain. And so Elijah says, they're rebelling. Why is it raining? So God shut off the rain, and Elijah went to see Ahab and said, I just want you to know that the reason it's not raining is because I prayed that it wouldn't. Well, right after that, we find that God said to Elijah, I want you to go out there to Cherith. And that word means cut off, and he would be out there alone, cut off from the influence of the apostates of his day. Then he went to Zarephath, and that word means refined, to make useful. Now, gasoline is of no value at all until they refine it. And so Cherith had meant represented Elijah being cut off from the influences. God had to deal with him there. Then in Zarephath, he refined him some more, and that prepared him all for the great story in Mount Carmel, where we see him with that mighty power with God. But then we get into chapter 19, and I wish that chapter wasn't in the Bible, because there Elijah just fell apart under the stress. The Bible says these things are written for our admonition. The problem there was that Elijah did not cope with the stress that was caused by the circumstances of his day. And that's when God needed him the most. There was that great revival on the mountain there, and there was 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal, and there were some cowardly prophets hiding in a cave. And following this tremendous revival on Mount Carmel, Elijah could have had a tremendous ministry in helping these people. But instead of that, he ran for his life. Well, we're going to take some time and follow this story through. It begins in 1 Kings chapter 17. You'll turn there with me, and I hope you have your Bible ready for these studies. You'll get so much more out of them. 1 Kings chapter 17, it says, And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain in these years, but according to my word. Now, he comes out of nowhere, as we said. He's referred to as the strange one 6 times. And he comes before Ahab. Ahab could have put him to death at the snap of a finger. But he goes in there, and he's representing the Lord God of Israel, he says, and I stand here, and I'm going to tell you that it's not going to rain, and it hasn't rained for the last 3 months, according to my word. Well, the next thing we read is the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. Now, this doesn't make much sense, I'm sure, to Elijah. I mean, here he is standing in here telling him who's who. Well, that's his problem. He said here, it's not raining according to my word. Oh, your word, Elijah? I think we need a little training in humility. So he says, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Ravens, those dirty birds are going to come and bring me food every day. How humiliating. Yeah, that's what we need for Elijah, a little humiliation. Well, we read in verse 5, so he went. God said, go, get thee hence. So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. Now the Jordan River represents death to self. And Elijah needed a little bit of that. Well, we read in verse number 6, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Well, it's kind of nice out here. Kind of get used to that. It's kind of like Moses when he was out there in the wilderness. You remember looking after a few sheep? He was content. I'm sure that Elijah is getting content here too until he saw that brook drying up. It says here in verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. What an interesting little portion of scripture. He says, get to Zarephath. Remember, Zarephath means refining. Well, he gets there. Now notice, you'll see in verse number 9 that he said, go there. And then he said in verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so we read, he rose and went to Zarephath, and the widow woman was there, just exactly as he had promised him in verse number 9. There is where she's going to be. Now, the lesson here is what God says to do, do it, and where he says to do it, do it. Be there, and I will bless you. And so he had to leave the safety of Cherith. That must have been a stressful moment. And then go into the Gentile country. At least Cherith was in Israel. And not only that, it was a 100-mile trip. 100 miles. Well, I don't have to walk all that way in the dark. And I've got to go through that enemy territory. And that's Jezebel's country. Jezebel's father was king in that area. And it was a strong area for Baal worship. And you want that widow to feed me? I mean, we're supposed to feed the widows. What is going on here? Doesn't matter what's going on. God said, you go there, and so he went there. Well, in verse number 10, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. Now he's looking at this lady, and he's pretty thirsty. Had a long trip here, and he needs a little bit of water. Well, as she was going to get the water, it says in verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now he said, I want some water, and I'd like some bread. Verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God. Now, she's a heathen. She's not part of Israel here at all. She is a Gentile. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, remember, she's a widow. She's got a son. They are out of food. They are starving to death. There's been a famine here for years. And she's got 1 meal left. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, what's the matter with you, Elijah? Do you not understand that she only has enough for one meal? If she gives it to you, then she's going to starve, and so is her son. Well, he went on to say in verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Well, we read in verse 15, she believed him. It says she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Well, things are going along pretty good here. There's not having too much problem, but then in verse 17 we see the stress factor coming in once again. And it says it came to pass that after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now that means he's dead. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Now she's obviously living on some kind of a guilt trip about her past here, and she's blaming God because her son is dead. Wonder why she didn't blame the devil. Anyway, in verse 19, he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? I wonder why he didn't blame the devil. And in any event, we read here that in verse number 21, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Yeah, she'd been railing on him back here in verse 18. She said, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Well, he comes down and says, see, thy son liveth. Verse 24, and the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. Well, Elijah was a great man of God, but we should never think that faithful service protects us from stress and trouble. In fact, we should think the opposite. 1 Peter 4 and 12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Well, once again, we see we get to chapter 18. There's going to be another stress test. You know, a stress test is, it's to determine what kind of condition your heart is in. And we're going to have another stress test here for Elijah. It says in chapter 18, verse number 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Go show thyself unto Ahab. Now that is going to be a stress test. We'll deal with it in our next program. Be sure and tune in.